Galatians 5, we'll be reading from verse 25 all the way down to 6. Basically the most of, not the entirety of Galatians 6. So Galatians 5, 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to one another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows in his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows in the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. Let's just stop there, and let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, God. And Father, open our hearts, God, to the truth of your word, God, and the understanding, God, of what it means, Lord, to live by the Spirit and to walk by the Spirit. And Father, help me, God, as I bring forth some of your teaching, God, and what I also believe you're saying to us prophetically as well. And so, God, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, there's actually a lot of things that we can draw from Galatians 6, but there's one point in particular that I'm going to be talking about. But in order for me to do that, I need to kind of explain a little bit of what's going on, and especially what the book of Galatians is about. Paul, in his epistle to the church of Galatia, seemingly there were some problems and some issues going on in Galatians. And a lot of what the epistles really were written to, and specifically the one in Galatians, was really to refute a lot of Judaizers and a lot of Judaism. And Judaizers basically were those who were Jewish, right? Or those who were of Israel, who believed in God. But when Christ came, they rejected him, and they held on to the belief of the Jewish faith so much so that they would push the law of Moses and the laws of basically Jewish custom, and then not only would they push those laws onto Messianic believers, they would oftentimes persecute them as well. And so if you were a Jew and you became Messianic, so you believed in Christ, they would persecute you and say, no, Christ is not the way. You have to come back and be circumcised. If you want to be saved, you have to be circumcised. Now, when we look at Galatians chapter 5, seemingly there was something going on in the church, right? Paul was not so specific. I mean, in his letters, he doesn't quite so much, you know, say, stop doing this or stop doing that. You are doing this. This is wrong. But what he's refuting is the idea of the flesh versus the Spirit. We see this quite a bit. In Galatians 5, he talks about, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Paul, anytime he's talking about the flesh and the Spirit, especially when he's talking about, you know, the Judaism and the Holy Spirit, he's really talking about following the law versus following Christ. Right? The idea that as a Jew, your salvation comes from your ability to remain pure in following God's law and being able to remain good in following the laws that were decreed to you by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But the moment that Christ comes into the picture, that's now abolished, right? There's no longer this need for sacrifice, all these sort of things, because God has already done it for you. All you need to do is to live by faith, and so you don't need to go back and to do these things. Well, what was happening in the church was because there was a lot of Judaism going on, a lot of people were falling back from that grace-filled life into this life of following the law. Now, this is what Paul is talking about, okay? But there is a teaching point to this as well, because in here, late in chapter 5, he starts talking about the evidence of living by the flesh and evidence of living by the Spirit. He talks about, now the deeds of flesh are evident, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions, etc., etc., he goes on. And so there's, on one regard, we see Paul talking about there is the flesh, which is on the law, which is set on, you know, the following Judaism. But then there's also a fruit of the flesh when we are not of Christ, which are these things. Now, let me kind of take a step back here. Let us read from Romans 8. What is Paul talking about? Romans 8:5 says this, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds of the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so." See, on one hand, Paul is talking about salvation. He's talking about the idea of we are no longer bound by the laws of God. Well, Christ came to fulfill the law, right? But we're not bound by that idea that we have to follow the commandments to be saved. We're now saved by Christ. But on the other hand, he's talking about how do we know? By when we are living according to, are we living to the ways of the flesh, or are we living according to the ways of the Spirit? Now, as Christians, I mean, this should be one of those things that we think, oh yeah, okay, I get it. It's easy, right? I'm saved by Christ. Okay, I'm done, right? I'm not worried about the things of the law. But really, Paul's also asking us, well then, if you're living by faith, if you're living according to Jesus Christ being your Savior, are there also the fruits of those things in your life? Are there the fruits of living by the Spirit? Right? Paul makes it very clear. There's the difference between someone who's living by the law and someone living by Christ. When we look at our lives, are we envious? What are the things that Paul talks about? Is there idolatry in our lives? Is there jealousy? Outbursts of anger, right? Do we get angry at things that seemingly are harmless to us? Or when people make a joke about us, do we burst out in anger versus the fruit of the Spirit, which is, do we live our lives out with love and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control towards each other and the things of our lives? And so this is the juxtaposition Paul is talking about, right? There is a belief, a faith, do we rely on law versus Christ? And then there is the walking out, the fruit of the Spirit, right? Of basically what our belief is, which is all those things versus the good things and with the fruit of the Spirit coming out. This is why Paul in verse 25 talks about, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. The idea of not only do we believe in this new idea of Christ, let us also have these fruit in our lives. Now, that's kind of the sort of the intro of what's happening. Now, the idea of if anyone is caught in trespass, who you are spiritual, restore one. Okay, chapter 6. When I was reading this, I was really convicted in a way, and I felt like God really highlighting this part of bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. You know, as a pastor, sometimes, I love my job. I love the work that I do. I love understanding truth, and I love walking with people in what they do. But if I was to be honest, there are times even when I find it difficult to walk with people. And this is me being a young leader, especially, and I don't know if anyone else necessarily on the pastoral staff has this issue, But there are definitely times when I look at what I see in the scriptures and what I see in my own life or when I see in other people's life, especially when they come and they ask for advice and I'm trying to speak into their lives. And at times I have a great difficulty being able to see fruit, right? Or have great difficulty seeing that this person is walking by what I would believe the walking out of the Spirit, which is basically they're encountering a situation and they say, hey, Pete Rico, what should I do? And I pray with them and I speak with them. I say, hey, I really feel like in this situation, God is speaking to you to do this. And I show them scripture. And then afterwards, they kind of turn away, and then or they'll say, "Oh, thank you so much." And I don't know, you know, whether they receive or not. And then they turn away, and then they kind of do their own thing anyway. And then eventually, they kind of come back, and they you know, something happens, and it didn't work out. And I try to help them out again in the same situation, and again they're like, "Oh, thank you," and then they kind of walk away, and then they kind of do their own thing. And what I was kind of convicted on is this idea that as someone who knows the law or someone who knows the scriptures, I mean, my job as a pastor really is to walk with people regardless, right, of whether they listen or they don't listen or whatnot. But the thing that I really felt like the Spirit highlighting was, beyond just being a pastor, what is our job as church members? What is our spiritual, I guess, walking by the Spirit when it comes to one another? And what I felt like God was saying was this: as Christians, really our work in the Spirit and ministry to one another is not only to know what the Bible says, it's not only to, hey, this is what I believe and whatnot, but it's really to walk with one another even in their burdens, even in their distresses, even when they don't listen. Now, there's two sides of this coin. The first side is the one who's doing the walking with, right? If you see your brother in sin, if you see your sister in sin, or if you see a person who you're kind of close in accountability doing something that is not of the Spirit, Paul is telling us our responsibility as the person who understands, who ought to know, actually is to deal with the person with gentleness. Is to continue to love, is to continue to walk with them despite them walking away from you or walking away from you thinking, why is it that you're, you know, or keeping me from blessed? Or, you know, this crazy thing is sometimes I've heard is there are people who are loving on someone and saying, hey, I don't think you should do this because this, you know, scripturally you're in the wrong, and yet they'll turn around and say, you don't want me to be blessed? You know, are you being jealous of me? All these sort of things. And the person's saying, no. I just want to love on you. I want you to walk in the way of Christ. Now, the choice of the person now who's doing the kind of counseling and teaching is, are you going to continue to walk with the person? Or are you going to kind of take a step back and say, hey, okay, fine. You do what you want, right? Excuse my language, kind of say, screw you, right? Okay, I was just trying to be your brother, and you kind of walk away from the person. Well, Paul's saying, actually, no, we shouldn't be doing that. Really, we should continuing in our exhortation of our brother, right? Even though they're in the wrong, even though they're the ones that are not listening, we should continue to love on them, and to walk with them, and to be with them. Now, the flip side of this is, if you're the one on the other end, receiving, and the one who's maybe in a place where you're not sure what to do, someone's trying to help you. Now, the side of this is I feel like, now this is the side where I feel like it's a little bit more prophetic than it is teaching, is you need to understand who you're talking to. Now, I'm not saying that as in, hey, I'm your pastor, you need to listen to me. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this: you need to understand if the person who's speaking to you actually is caring for you, or if they're simply trying to get something from you. Now, let me explain. Galatians 6 here talks about those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Remember in the church in Galatia, there are people, especially Judaizers, who are pushing the law. Now, there are those who actually didn't believe in the law. There are people who actually didn't want to walk by the law. They just wanted people to be circumcised so that they themselves wouldn't be persecuted. Basically, if, I don't know, I'm going to use you as an example. Ernie, okay, say he's walking in sin. He's doing something, I don't want to say anything. He's just walking in some sort of sin, okay? And I go to him and I say, Ernie, don't do it! Okay? And then what Paul's saying is, I don't even believe in it. Okay, I don't even believe that that's sin. It's just, don't do it! Why? So that one, other people won't look at me and tell me not to do it because they'll think, oh, I'm all holy. And then secondly, there are those who boast in his flesh, meaning when I tell him not to do it and then he doesn't do it, I'm like, yeah, look how spiritual I am, right? Versus there are those who will tell Ernie not to do it, or myself, or whoever it is, to tell Ernie, hey, Ernie, you shouldn't do this because he cares about Ernie. You guys see the difference, right? Now, if you're the one being kind of taught in this way, if you're in accountability with a brother or sister and they're kind of, you know, telling you, and it's seemingly very contradictory to what you want to do and whatnot, this is where you need to ask yourself this question. Does this person care for me, or does this person simply want to boast in my flesh? If this person really cares for me, then I would have to say, humble yourself. Okay? Why is it that you're having such a hard time receiving the teaching and really whatever encouragement it is the person is giving to you? Could it be that you're not walking in a way that God is asking you to? Or is it so much so that you really believe that this person is not here for your benefit? Now, I know in some ways, I need to apologize a little bit. I know it doesn't kind of make sense. I think there's a part of me that's speaking specifically to a situation. But if I was to make it more general, it's basically this. Our responsibility as the body is really to look out for one another. I mean, if I was to really draw any sort of conclusion, our responsibility as believer is to continue to speak truth, is to continue to know the word, is to continue to look at one another and to say, I am your keeper. However, the response to that is also to recognize, knowing that you as my brother and my sister is my keeper, I need to respond in humility and in love. Understanding that your desire for me is to walk in spirit and in truth. Okay, that is basically the draw of Ephesians 6, right? Our relationship in the church is really to continually to encourage each other to walk a life of Christ. Now, I apologize if I didn't make that come out so well. I really do believe there's a side of me right now that's really speaking into something. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I really do believe that maybe there's some conflict going on in this church. Maybe there's something happening in which there are people trying to speak into other people's lives or whatnot, and maybe it's seemingly so that the person doesn't love you, or maybe seemingly so that, you know, why is it that you don't want this for me? I really don't believe that's the case. I really believe that the person wants the best for you. And then the flip side is, if you're the person doing it, I think the reminder is, continue to do it in love. Right? Don't break a relationship. Don't think, oh, the person's not going to listen to me anyway, and so I shouldn't talk to them. But to really continue to pursue, hey, I still love you. We're still friends. We're still accountable to each other. But let's do it in love. Let's do it in unity. Amen? Sorry if today it seemed a little bit disconnected. I really believe there's something my spirit's speaking to in the prophetic. But the draw for us in the general, if this doesn't speak to you, is to continue in your brotherly and sisterly relationships in such a way that really encourages each other to walk towards Christ. And so let's close our eyes. I'm going to ask Ernie to come up. So maybe the question I should ask in light of this is one, do you take your role in the church and in the body seriously? Meaning, one, do you consider your brothers and sisters under your care? Do you look to those in your, whether it's in your house church or accountability, whatever the case may be, as people whom God has placed in your life to encourage to walk by the Spirit, you know, Paul continues to tell us that part of the maturing in our faith is not only the walking out of our spirit, but then the encouraging of those as well. Those who are teachers, right? Those who have received, we also should continue to give. Now, the opposite side of that is, as someone in the body, do you recognize that those who are speaking into your life are doing it out of love, or I hope is out of love, and have you yourself reacted in such a way that was in love? And so as Ernie leads us, let's meditate on this and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Have we been living out our faith in the body? Are we taking our faith seriously in that way? Or are we simply here as a recipient or someone who criticizes those who do? And so let's sing and respond. So let's continue praying. Let's just ask God to speak to our hearts in that way. And if there's any relationship in your life right now that may be broken, maybe due to some conflict in this way, let's really ask God to reconcile it, to bring truth, and to bring a spirit in. please turn to our community focus. Let's lift up those who are suffering from cancer and cancer-related issues. Let's pray for God's healing and claim His word over them, that by His stripes that they're healed. Let's pray for their families as well. Let's pray for His comfort and His providence. Pray for those in need of healing, but also salvation as well. Let's really ask God to do only what He can do, that He'll move hearts and to bring them into the fold as well. Let's lift up those suffering from non-cancer related infirmities. Let's pray for full and complete healing. Let's ask that God continues just to bring them comfort in this way. Let's lift up those in need of work. Let's really pray for God's favor over them. Let's ask that God will provide for them, not just work, but all of their needs. Let's also pray that God will prepare their hearts for the place of ministry that God's going to call them into. And so let's lift them up. Go towards our mission focus. Let's lift up China. Let's lift up SP Beijing and our Beijing family, Pastor Hyunsu and Chloe and Enoch. Let's really pray for them, that they will continue to grow, and pray for spiritual covering as well, as they're doing something. As they're doing something for the Lord in China. And so, yeah, let's just pray that whoever doesn't need to see won't see. Let's pray for the Chong family and Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark and the churches. Let's really pray that God continues to move in China to bring more people to Him. Let's lift up the board as well. Let's pray for unity. Let's pray for God to really speak to every individual, and that as they make decisions and decide on specific things, that they'll just be able to do so, to hear clearly, and to be able to act wisely as well. Let's lift up our fellowship ministries. Let's lift up the men's ministry, including the PD group, men's fraternity, and let's lift up women's ministry as well. Pray specifically for the retreat coming up on September 17th. Let's pray for the logistics, with especially with kids and being able to take care of them, and for the husbands to be able to come alongside and really support them. Let's lift up the young adults as well, and also SP Rings as they're about to launch their ministry. Let's just pray. Yeah, Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this morning, God, and for this time of just being able to come together and pray. Lord, we just ask, Lord, help us to continue to live in unity with one another, but also recognizing, God, that we are our brother's keeper. Father, help us, God, to encourage each other in our faith, Lord, to walk out by the life of the Spirit, Lord, and not to walk, Lord, by the life of the flesh. And so, God, if there are broken relationships, Lord, I pray, Lord, will you help us mend them? Father, help us see, God, that we are for each other, God, and not against. And so, Lord, we lift you up, God. I ask for a blessing over my brothers and sisters as they go today. Bless the works of their hands, Lord. Bless their relationships. Cover them, Lord, in all that they do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a good morning. We'll see you back tomorrow.